in 2 Peter chapter 1. To do those things and to see those things, when I see those things happening in me, I make my calling election sure. I know where I stand because he's working in me. And that's good. But if you don't seek those things out, if you don't seek out the things of the kingdom and his righteousness, and you walk in, so to speak, they're not actually going to be walking into the marriage supper of the Lamb. They're going to be shut out with the whore. It's just a parable. But the idea is, it's disrespectful to show up like that and say, oh, compel them. All right, I'll come. I'm coming. I received the gospel. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. But I'm glad you said that that's all I had to do. Every dude who thinks that is not going to make it. Just the truth.
If they continue in it.
I always like to have a lot of hope for people. People who are sincere and who love God. Even if you have doctrine that's amiss, sin in your life, I believe that if you sincerely seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will reveal the truth to you and he will cleanse your life from sin. And that means improving your actual day-to-day behavior, making you more like Christ. So that when you walk into the kingdom on that day, you won't be a stranger. You won't feel strange in wedding garments that you've never worn before. Not only that, you will feel an intense sense of belonging, not of awkwardness, as the one who was wearing the wrong garments felt. Blessed are they which are called. Yes, we are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are they who are called to this supper. What is this supper? Is it going to be a lot of food? As much donuts as you can eat without getting fat or getting pimples? Of course not. It's a spiritual meat, a spiritual drink. Think about it. All he has to do is just start talking. And that's all the feast I will need. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. My belly will be full to exploding. To simply hear those words from Christ. So, the marriage supper, if the wrath of God is the sword that comes out of his mouth, in a sense, his word goes forth to destroy and to kill. His word also goes forth to call them to the resurrection, to bring them to life, and to feed them with good things, to nourish their souls. That's what the marriage of the supper of the Lamb is. It's indeed, these are the true sayings of God. The things he has to say at that time. I'm not saying that's what it's saying here, but it's kind of a coincidence in my mind that it says that, and then I feel like that's true. And then he falls at his feet to worship him. And I'm a little bit, I guess we have to go way back to the angel in chapter 17, maybe? One of the seven angels which had the seven vials. That's the last individual I recall. Now, I haven't been following this very closely, but let's just say it's an angel. He said, "See thou do not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Oftentimes when we think of prophets, we think of people who predict the future. And while there is that, it is not really what a prophet is. A prophet is a spokesperson for God in the Old Testament sense. And though it does mean prophetes indicates a foreteller, that's from the Greek. Because oftentimes what God has to say to his prophets is to declare things before they will be, to give warnings of what shall be. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Everything that we testify in Christ is of what shall be in this world. He will raise us from the dead. He will cause us to conform to his image. We are testifying to what God has said. shall be. The testimony, the word testimony is martyrion, which is, I guess, the verb of the same where we get martyr. But martyr does not inherently indicate someone who dies for the faith, though that is what it has come to mean. It is someone who bears witness. And the association, of course, came to be because many who bore witness of the faith also paid with their lives. It's no different for the witnesses in the end times. They will pay with their lives for the witness they give. But that witness we give on Christ's behalf is the spirit of prophecy. I've long really wondered about this verse, because it says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And the next verses that follow are his revelation. And we, as far as the actual visual and literal coming of Christ to the earth, how he shall appear. And ultimately, I mean, what do we testify for? What's the whole point of it all? And so that when he shall appear, we could stand before him and not be ashamed before him at his coming. As the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 2, and it said, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And everything I would like you to take away from the prophets and prophecy and all that is so that you might give the testimony of Christ in your day, whatever day that should be, whether it's far off or whether it's yet in this life and not at the coming of the Lord. But that when he does come, when he appears, you will stand before him and have confidence and not be ashamed. And John followed that up saying, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. In the doing of righteousness is the proof of our rebirth in Christ. And, you know, God's salvation is wrought in God, and God knows all about our salvation. It's perfected in him before we even begin to know about it. But in our lives, we know that, you know, even people who believe in, you know, a much more lax sort of faith, I mean, they still believe you have to do something to be saved. You have to